Glory to God, whose power working in us can do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine. Glory to God from generation to generation, in the church, and in Christ Jesus, forever and ever and ever. Familiar words, aren't they? Because this is our weekly signal that our corporate worship is over and that we go back into the world to continue our service to God and to humanity. We are reminded that in addition to worship, where we participate in the Eucharist, where we learn from the Word of God, and where we encourage and support each other, our Christian experience is also expressed through our daily walk with Christ and to our service to others in obedience to Almighty God. Our God is truly an awesome God, isn't he? And I hope that this resonates with you as we reflect on the scripture readings for today. In the first reading from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1 and verses 4 to 10, and this is generally referred to as the call to Jeremiah, we heard about Jeremiah's selection by God to be a prophet and to minister among the people of Judah in the difficult years before the Babylonian exile. So imagine yourself as a teenager being called to take on an adult responsibility. Well, for me, being a teenager goes back a lot of years, but many of you are closer to being teenagers than I am. But imagine yourself back as a teenager. Wouldn't you have been a bit anxious about being asked to take on a major responsibility? And think of the reaction of young Jeremiah when God called on him to be his voice of caution to the people of Judah. The prophet called himself a youth when God spoke to him. He felt inadequate for the job, but God gave him the assurance of his strength, as it would take courage and confidence to undertake the work he was being sent to do. So from the reading from Jeremiah, we learn that God knows what we are made of and what we can handle. We learn that God will guide us, he will lead us and show us the way to go and give us the words to say. Most importantly, we are assured that God will always be with us. And in Psalm 71, and we sang the verses 1 to 6, the psalmist writes about the God of refuge, the God of deliverance, and the God of redemption. For God is the source of our strength and our salvation. But I find that the reading from the Gospel of Luke, I find this reading to be most forceful and most powerful, as it describes Jesus' healing of a woman who was ill for 18 years. And when she experienced the healing power of our compassionate Lord, we are told that when Jesus laid his hands on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But we would also remember from the reading that this healing miracle placed the focus on the Sabbath commandment, because the synagogue leader tried to maintain the traditional teaching of the law. It is evident, my friends, that the way that one interprets the Sabbath law or any law is crucial. On one hand, it seemed to be fair and straightforward to apply the law. But on the other hand, a narrow interpretation made it very difficult for some who really needed help on the Sabbath. We are told that healings on the Sabbath were regarded as a breach of the law. And of course, on the Sabbath, the Jews could legitimately untie their animals and take them to get water. So the question arises, why couldn't someone be healed of a demonic condition on the Sabbath? One might refer to this as double standards. But you'd recall from the reading that Jesus was a lot stronger in his criticism, and he actually called them hypocrites. From the reading, we know that there are two main characters who had an encounter with Jesus. One is an insider as the leader of the synagogue. The other, an outsider, a woman with a spirit that had disabled her. One is the interpreter of the law. The other is the beneficiary of God's grace. One challenges Jesus' application of the Sabbath laws, and the other praises the Lord when she is healed on the Sabbath. We are aware, my friends, that the commandment to love is at the center of Jesus' ethic, and he wanted to do what is right. So he argued for the relaxation of the strict laws and to use discretion and good judgment. Our powerful God stood up for fairness, confronted the systemic barriers that prohibited acts of healing on the Sabbath, and gave the woman the chance to start over. And in our own context, just think of what our lives would be like if doctors, others in the healing professions, and emergency workers were not allowed to work on the weekend. So the question is, how do we keep the Sabbath? That has been a very important question. And Jesus disagreed with those interpreters of the law who argued that even healing should be put on hold until the Sabbath was over. So one question for us to consider today is how we might restore the gift of the Sabbath, because it is a gift, and the necessity of rest alongside the work we are called to do. What is the delicate balance? And I dare say that we could learn from the example of Jesus, who took time to pray, who took time to work, and who allowed himself time to rest. Jesus recognized that the larger purpose of the commandment was to release God's people from whatever is a burden to us. Yes, no matter what faces us today, the love of God offers us hope. Jesus came to reveal to us God's power and God's mercy. And I truly believe that God is still in the miracle-working business today and offers us all a chance to start over. So, we are encouraged to tell others about our life as a Christian. From the scripture, we learn that a new life, a new lease on life was given to the woman, but nothing that she did was responsible for her deliverance. She was faithful, and Jesus had compassion on her and set her free. And Luke tells us that her response to the love and compassion of Jesus was to praise God publicly in the synagogue. So, my friends, what is our response to the love of Christ? Why do so many of us remain apathetic, stuck, and unable to witness for Christ? I believe that one possibility is that we often lack self-confidence, perhaps due to inadequate training, perhaps, inadequate experience, perhaps. Jeremiah thought that he was too young and inexperienced to be God's messenger, but God promised to be his source of strength, and he promises to be our source of strength also. So we must have a passion for Jesus while we have compassion for others. like the prophet Jeremiah and the woman who was healed of the demonic ailment, we must never allow feelings of inadequacy to keep us from obeying God's will. For our God is faithful, and if God gives us a job to do, He will provide all that we need to do it. The gospel reading does not tell us what caused the woman's disability, but we are told that she endured for 18 years. It might have been a serious physical illness, or it might have been a burden of grief, a burden of guilt, or a burden of shame that made her quite unable to stand up straight. And we probably know someone, perhaps even ourselves, who may be carrying a heavy burden of some sort, whether it is an illness, whether it is a grievance, whether it is self-pity. But the healing power of Jesus can restore our bodies, can restore our minds, and can restore our spirits. God's power can lift us up from the valley of need, from the valley of loneliness, and from the valley of despair. And during our time in the valley, God's acts of mercy can give us hope and comfort, for His power can set us free. For when we are broken, God can make us whole and new. For He is always there to help, and He gives us the power to change our lives. Because the God we serve is more powerful than any condition or any circumstance that we might face. And finally, God's power enabled Jeremiah to minister to God's people despite his abilities and his age. And the healing power of Jesus made the woman whole to remind us of his love and compassion, to strengthen our faith and the faith of others, and to empower us to share his love with others. As Christians, we encounter God in different ways, but we are all called to be witnesses and to tell others about his love for us. The prophet Jeremiah was obedient to God's call, and the woman who was healed by Jesus responded by praising God. How about us? How about you? How about me? So let us live to leave a legacy for God's glory. Let us open our hearts and allow God to guide us, to hold our hand, and to stand with us as we continue to serve an awesome God who is able to do infinitely more than we can ever ask or imagine. My sisters and brothers in Christ, these thoughts I share with you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.